Okay. Well, it's almost 5 minutes past, and as a courtesy to everyone who's joined on time, if we make a start and if we have to make any decisions, we'll have to review those as and when we're correct. Is that okay?
Fine to me.
Thank you. Okay. So we have apologies from Carolina, and Hang Shuan is stuck in traffic, so is also hoping to join us, but may be late. And I think we were due to welcome Barak, but I haven't heard him on the call, Gabby.
No, I haven't heard Barak either.
Oh, dear.
Hello, who joined? Hello, did someone join? Is this Rafi?
Yeah.
Who was that, Gabby?
I was Rafik Damak, the GNSO liaison.
Ah, okay, good. Thank you very much. Right, so our agenda then. Item one is the minutes and actions from our council call of the 17th of April. Can I have any comments regarding accuracy or omissions on the minutes, please? Anyone? Otherwise, I'll assume that they're a good record. Okay.
No comment.
We'll take. Thank you very much, Fernando. We'll take those as approved then. Gabby, could you run us through the actions, please?
Yes. We have one outstanding action. Would you like us? Would you like me to run through all the actions, including those, or just the outstanding one?
Just the outstanding ones would be fine, thanks.
Okay. So there's one action, action 7204, Becky Burr, Roloff Meyer, and Bart Buswinkle to look at options for a CCNSO response to the SSR team final report and forward them to the to the CCNSO Council. And Bart?
Yes, it's recurring all under agenda item 3. When we initiated this, it was clear that the... say the public comment period was already closed or near closing, so it was almost impossible to get a statement or even discussing a statement in time for the public comment period itself.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come back to that in agenda item 3 then.
Yeah.
So for the moment, that action has. The action's out of time, in effect.
Yeah.
Could I just track back to action 7202? Have I missed that one?
It's. I forwarded this to the council from, Chris sent me the link, and I think I forwarded it to the council about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, Bart. Thank you.
I will check. If not, then I'll send it to the council anyway just after this call. Or resend
okay.
It anyway.
Probably me, Bart. Don't worry. Okay. Anyone else?
Paulus and Cheryl have joined. Paulus Nirenda and Cheryl Langdonor.
Hello, this is Margarita here.
Hello, Margarita.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Margarita.
Hi.
We're just coming to the end of agenda item 1.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any comments on the action, please? No? Okay. Thank you very much. So let's move on then to item 2, which is the update. And if I start with my chair's update. In common with several others, I was at the ISOC Global INET conference just the other week. And I was on the panel on internet governance. A very good conference. I managed to mention the CCNSO to a few people there, and there were also, I think, from the conference, growing awareness about the international telecoms regulations and the what's known as the WICIT, the World Conference on IT, the regulatory side through the ITU. I participated in a supporting organisation and advisory committee of ICANN chair's call That's an informal call that we've set up amongst the group chairs. And the subjects of discussion primarily on that call were the ALAC wishing to raise awareness of the ICANN Academy proposal, some rather lengthy discussions about the ICANN announcement to cancel, in effect, the board meeting on the Friday and all that goes around that, and some early discussions on the ICANN budget, the strategic plan and budget stuff being produced just the other week. And lastly, I received a letter from Elise Gerrick of IANA just this morning about the ISO 31662 letter code, in effect asking the CCNSO about our opinion on the principles in the IDN fast track to protect two-letter country codes, whether in effect those continue. What I will do is circulate that letter to the council and ask the Secretariat to prepare us a draft response for discussion on our next call. I think that's almost all I've been up to. Happy to explain further or respond to any questions.
Leslie, this is Bart.
Hi, Bart.
May I add to your, say, your remark on the letter you received, that a similar letter has been sent to the GAC as well?
Thank you, Bart.
Vika just joined.
Hi, Vika.
Ah, Leslie, hi all.
We just started on the agenda item 2.
Okay.
Okay, if nothing further on the chair's report, if I hand over to Byron firstly as vice chair.
Thank you. Hello all. In the recent past, I was at the Stockholm Internet Conference on Free and Open Internet, which was put on by .sc and the Foreign Ministry of Sweden. It was certainly an interesting event in that it was a crowd that don't typically see at ICANN events. There were many more end users, activists and bloggers and such from around the world. And it was refreshing in a sense that it was a true multi-stakeholder event, but over the course of 3 days, not once was the word ICANN raised. So it was actually interesting to see it in practice, but not actually in the forum we're so used to. And it just really reinforced the importance of the model that we have and I think what we do in terms of having a free and open internet, and just how important that is when you listen to bloggers from the Gaza Strip or South Sudan trying to get the messages that they have out to the world. So it was actually quite a well-done event, and I think an important event for those of us who run our little pieces of the Internet, how important it is to so many end users. I was also at the ARIN conference in Vancouver.
Have we lost Paro?
I thought it must have been me, but I think we've lost him.
I think we have a participant, Byron.
Yeah, it was the Vancouver that did it somehow.
It was, obviously. Keith, maybe if we move to you and see if Byron can reconnect.
Okay, thanks, Leslie. Yes, I also attended the ISOC Global INET in Geneva last week, and it was an opportunity with quite a different group of people to try and twist a few arms and of other people to join CCNSO or be more involved in ICANN. It was a good opportunity. Other than that, I've had a few days in the UK and just got back to New Zealand, so still recovering. And outside of working group work, nothing else from me.
Okay, thanks very much, Keith.
I'm back.
We lost you at Vancouver.
Okay. Well, if Keith is done, I'll keep going if you don't mind.
I'm done.
So we put on the Aaron. We were the sponsor of the Aaron meeting. I think the thing of interest there was Aaron having a discussion amongst its members about whether it should engage in a meaningful way in the internet governance space in terms of keeping their members informed and whether they should be participating in the wicket in any meaningful way. And there was acceptance within the Aaron membership that Aaron as an organization should take a more meaningful role or a more participatory role and keep their members better informed potentially with actual position papers so their membership could participate. So that appeared to be something they have not really done in the past, so I think that was of interest. And just last week, Dr. Touré from the ITU, who seems to be on a bit of a charm offensive, was in Ottawa, my hometown, visiting with the Canadian government, and I had a couple of hour one-on-one with Dr. Touré, who was talking about the wicket and what he's trying to do or what the ITU is trying to do and clearly trying to drum up support through a charm offensive for those of us in the internet community to have a more collegial, collaborative relationship. So that was interesting. I did that in part with Heather Dryden, who was, you know, chair of the GAC, but also one of my board members and a Canadian government representative. So we did that in part together and in part just with Dr. Touré and myself. So that's what I've been up to.
Okay. Thank you, Byron. Any questions for Keith or Byron, please? No? Okay, let's move on to councillors. Any councillor having any issues or updates to share with us, please?
Yes, I have, Leslie.
Hi, Dita. Oh, sorry, that's Roloff.
This is Roloff, yeah. Well, just I participated in both the Stockholm meeting that Byron mentioned and the INET conference in Geneva that both you, Leslie, and Byron mentioned, so I won't go into that. Just a few developments on the membership side. During our last conference call, I mentioned the Palestinian Authority, who had a pending application. That one was approved on the 25th of April. We got in an application from Curaçao for their new domain .cw, which was approved on the 2nd of May. And we have a pending application from .sx, the new domain for St. Martin. And I've asked all of you to let me know if you have any objections before coming Friday. And just today, I received an application for .is, the Icelandic TLD, the CC TLD, but I don't know yet if that's a true one, because sometimes we get fake, not sometimes, quite often we get fake applications. So
it's
I don't know, Gabriella, if you had time to look into that one?
Yes, it's correct, and it's forwarded to Ayana.
Oh, excellent. So you'll hear about that one in a few days, probably. .sx, if we approve it on Friday, that will be number 130.
Ooh, excellent.
Excellent.
So that's it.
Thank you, Rodolphe. Anyone else? Okay, let me move on to liaisons and regional organizations. Anything from you, please?
Hi, Leslie. This is Peter.
Hi, Peter.
We are preparing a center for providing members, CCTLDs in general, with information on Wicket and what it can be. We'll be happy to beat what ISOC is doing on this, but we're going to cooperate with them and see if we can somehow make it a bit more tailor-made to the needs of CC. One thing that would be very helpful is people on the call, and we will send out an email to White Rosings as well, if people on the call could let me know if they are aware of any events where governments are asking for input into the working process, since we're building a information page that will include, amongst some other things, that type of information. So if people are aware of governments that are regional governments, such as European Union or any other regional organization, or national governments, if they have pre-wicked initiatives, please let me know. That would be very helpful.
Thank you very much, Peter. That's very interesting. Cheryl, anything from you?
Only very briefly, we have a, sort of a record term of putting in faces of policy advice during the last month. We did 8 in 1 month, which I think means we're all rather weary over here in that large land. That said, there is an ever-increasing effort with our new GTLD group that is being put together to look at any string contention and compliance issues. And I think as a very open platform, I think that should be rather interesting if any of the CCNSO operators want to keep an eye on that locally with what their local internet communities might be doing. And perhaps at a future meeting, Leslie, it might be opportune for me to do a very little but short briefing, or perhaps send something through from the work group itself to the list, if you're interested.
Thank you, Sarah. That would be absolutely fine. We'll wait for your prompt. And thank you for that mistake. Any questions or comments for Peter or Cheryl, please? No? Okay. Let's move on to CCNSO support. Bart, Gabby, Christina, anything to report, please?
Yes, we have started a Facebook page, so please become friends and like us if you do. That's one thing. And then second thing is that shortly the local events calendar should be up. I don't know really when, because that depends on the ICANN tech department, but it should be up shortly on our website soon. And thank you everyone who provided me with local events, and I'm still welcoming more events. So that's all.
Thank you, Gabby. I'm a friend of the CCNSO. I thought I ought to be, really.
This is Bart. Just one thing. Say, over the coming weeks, leading up to Prague, I will start preparing a document for the discussion by the Council and the CCNSO community on the translation and whether or not the CCNSO wants translations of main documents. This is final part of the CCNSO improvements as a result of the review.
Indeed. Okay. Thank you for that, Bart. We'll await your prompt. Come back to that. Okay. Any questions or comments for the CCNSO support staff, please? No? Okay. Let's move on then to agenda item 3. Which is the CCNSO statement process. And Bart, I think you were going to speak to that.
Yes, it's over the since the change of the public comment process, so that's the split between the public comment process itself and the response period. The guidelines of the CCNSO do not affect, first of all, this process, but secondly, it's become more difficult to submit CCNSO statements in time for the public comment period. And we will run into this issue again with the submission of the SOP working group. So the suggestion is to have, first of all, check whether the guidelines need to be updated, but secondly is whether or not the CCNSO like to submit a statement to ICANN, either board or staff, that say the new process tends to become unworkable for a coordinated input into the say public comment processes.
Thank you, Bob. Anyone, any comments or questions on that? If I may make an observation, I suspect that this is an issue that the other SOs and ACs are also going to bump up against, because I would observe that generally the CCNSO has been quite prompt to make input into public comment. But it's I'm keenly aware that the revised process makes that more and more difficult, and also assumes that you haven't got a day job to do at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bart, what's the next steps on that one, please?
Say the next step would be I would say do an analysis for the upcoming council call, and I just have a question to Cheryl. Cheryl, do you run with ALAC? Do you run into the same problem?
Bart, sorry, it took me a moment to unmute. We do, and the particular problem that we're finding is it's not so much if we have a work group or a committee that is already operational for something. For example, we've got a work group that is dedicated to IDNs and things like that. It's when we don't have a work group. But of course, the ALAC has the trump card as an advisory committee of being able to just do advice when and how it wishes. But we do prefer to try and, for obvious reasons, as being, you know, a normal part of the ICANN community, to fit in with the public comment cycle. But it's, as I said, with eight going in last month, it was beyond a joke. In fact, it really did mean that some of us practically did give up our day jobs, as Leslie was saying. It's becoming more and more important that we get proper forecasting well ahead so we can prepare ourselves rather than have this, you know, guess what's happening in the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks rush.
Yep.
We can't get out to our communities.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. Let's come back to that one then on our next call and agree upon a CCNSO response or way of dealing with this issue.
Yeah. Leslie, if I might, it might be worthwhile bringing it up with the other ACSO leaders, because I'd be very surprised if it was isolated.
I would too, and you must be a mind reader, because I just made myself a note to do exactly that for the next call.
Leslie, sorry, if I could, Cheryl, here's the record. This was not the intention of the ATRT. It's almost like, you know, we got what we wished for and it's bitten us back. It was the intention with the modification of the system was to be quite the opposite. It went hand in glove with proper forecasting. And I think it's sort of the second part of that that's missing.
Yeah. Okay, let's come back to that one on our next call then, and
yep.
Move on to item four, which you may recall, this is the issue about the proposal to change the ICANN meeting schedule, and I shared an email with you at the end of April, I think, asking for your comments on the suggestion that the reading of the report, as it's fondly known, where the SO and AC chairs present their report to the community and the board meeting that take place on the Friday of each ICANN meeting week be changed. And I had thought at the time when I shared that email that this was a kind of informal consultation, although as many of you will be aware, there actually was then a board decision to finish the ICANN meeting on the Thursday, and Chris, after a conversation with me, sent an email to the council and to members giving a bit more background to that decision. So the decision has actually taken place already, so it's probably a bit too late for us to comment on a suggestion, but I thought it might be useful to have it on the agenda anyway and to gather any feedback or comments to feed back into Chris and others. So open to your thoughts.
This is Roloff.
Hi, Roloff.
I had the occasion to talk about this with both Steve and Chris, Steve Crocker and Chris Despain, and because it got me a bit worried. It seemed to be first when we had the meeting in San Jose, and suddenly we were informed that there would be no reading of resolutions, and that and we found that the board meeting was over in something like 15 minutes. To me, it gave the impression of not really a step towards more transparency, but more the opposite. After the discussion I had with Steve and Chris, I'm now convinced that their objective is to move in the right direction, to avoid board meetings where nothing new is being dealt with, or there are no controversial subjects, and there's only the reading of resolutions, and it would be better to read the transcripts later. And they convinced me that if there were, and that's also in Chris's email, that if there are board decisions on controversial subjects, this will be open to the public. It will be early in the week to ensure higher attendance and to make it easier for people to attend those meetings, but also to have prior to the board meeting to have discussions with the stakeholders in a kind of an open session. So what I did is I recommended to them to consider reintroducing the method we think we started in Seoul, where we had sessions in the main room but not on the podium, but circle in the room. You know the sessions we had with the different SOs and ACs together with the red, the green, and the yellow card. The more informal setting where the people who do the discussion are in the public and not somewhere on the stage. And they told me that they would take that into consideration.
Okay. Thank you, Roloff. Yes, it was the Seoul meeting. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Keith here, Leslie. I shared a little bit of Roloff's concerns, which seemed to disappear with as more explanation came forward from the board. But I do think this is a little bit top down, and while it may suit the board to change its processes to handle its affairs in this way, it may end up interfering with all the other things that are going on in ICANN because of the change, and people who currently have spare time on Thursdays suddenly not having spare time on Thursdays anymore, and so on. So I'm sort of taking it under advisement as to whether it's a good move or not overall for ICANN, I guess we'll see that tested in Prague and see how useful it is.
Thank you, Keith. That sounds very sensible. I mean, we do have the opportunity to engage with the CCNSO board members post each ICANN. So I suggest we view Prague as an experiment and provide feedback on that experiment at the call we have reasonably soon afterwards.
Yeah, I think I'm not suggesting we should object or make a submission at this stage to register any issues, but just merely look at it as an experiment in Prague, and if it works well, then it works well, and we can add our support to it.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Anyone else?
Leslie, Cheryl here, just to say that what Roloff and Keith have outlined is being echoed in many ways by discussions in the at-large community in the ALAC, that we did feel that the intentions were certainly not well telegraphed and explained, and it's only with the follow-up emails that have been sent
and explanations that have been sent that some of our fears have started to be allayed.
Indeed. Okay, noted. Let's move on then to item 5, the cross-constituency working group principles. And Bart very kindly, following our last call, drew up a paper for us that you should have found as an attachment to the addenda. Bart, do you want to walk us through the conclusions? We'll assume that everyone has read the paper.
Yes.
Anything you particularly want to highlight?
The GNSO, in fact, asked two questions from the SOs, other SOs and ACs. First of all, a response or input or feedback on the principles themselves they've developed, and secondly, on a route forward for community-wide adoptions if felt necessary, or on a process to come to community-wide adoption. So in the paper, what you'll see is what I've done. I've made an comparison between the the proposed principles and, in fact, the current practices of cross-community working groups in which the CCNSO is participating. And if you go through the according to that comparison, defining the purpose and scope of working groups is not really covered. What should be included in a charter and what should be excluded in the charter is not really covered. Decision-making processes by the participating SOs and ACs, in particular in case of disagreement across participating SOs and ACs or between the working group and one of the participating SOs and ACs, is not included either. So there is definitely room for additional principles if the CCNSO wants to continue. And as to the read forward, my suggestion would be to propose a cross-community working group, a little bit similar as to, as some of you may recall, the security stability analysis started drafting working group. That's a mouthful. What it proved to be is that the participating SOs and ACs, based on their own background and their experience with working groups, were able to come up with what I think is still a very sound answer for this cross-community working group, which was initiated by the SOs and ACs. So these are the highlights, in fact.
Okay, thank you, Bart. So the proposal is that we suggest to the other SOs and ACs a cross-community working group on cross-community working group principles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always... I know.
Okay. Something to do with doing a PDP on changing PDP.
PDP.
Why do I have the sense I'm listening to a Monty Python episode here?
I think a sense of humor to participate in this is an essential.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
I would
expect ALEC to
support that, despite the fact that I'm
here
giggling. I think it's the only way forward.
Thank you, Cheryl. Is anyone against that way forward, please? Amusing as it might be.
I'm not. This is Byron. I'm not against it. I think it is. It's the one that makes sense. But could I just say that this strikes me as something that has the potential to become very weighty, and that we should, as we're outlining the path forward, try to reinforce as lightweight a process and working group as possible.
Yes. And to give you comfort, Byron, on this, if you look at, say, the charter drafting working group for the DSSA, I think it was done in between two meetings.
Okay.
And as long as people are aware that we... say you can't deal with all potential issues and everybody needs to give and take, then it's workable. But there are some, say, fundamental differences between the role of working groups and voting, for instance, between the DNSO and the CCNSO. It needs to be discussed.
I understood. I absolutely understand what you're saying. I would still just say what we want is lightweight, high-level principles that give the organizations room to maneuver, and that we should really try to, at the outset, set that expectation that that's what we're trying to work towards.
Leslie, this is Roelof. I would like to second Byron's point. When I read it, my first mental reaction was, oh no, this can't be true. But I can't, like Byron, I don't see a better alternative. But there is a risk. There's a risk at the start already that this kind of working group that's going to deal with working group issues will spend a lot of time on determining what it is supposed to do. So more or less on its own charter and working methods. So I think it's really essential that we keep it lightweight and efficient, and make sure that we formulate a clear goal that we want them to obtain, and give them very little room to have a discussion on that.
Well, of course, both of you are talking yourselves into being members of that group with that express.
Oh, this was Byron's point. So. No,
isn't
fair point.
Like Cheryl just said, be careful what you wish for.
So I think we're looking for a short and cross constituency working group on these principles, and I hear what you've said, and I suspect that many other councillors would support that. Having said that, though, some principles would be extremely helpful, and they should suit the needs of all of the community, as opposed to being driven particularly from one part.
Agreed, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you for that. Then I think we have a way forward, unless anyone else quickly wants to comment. No? So let's move on to... Sorry?
This is Yang'an.
Hi, Yang'an.
Yes, I just had a question about that. So we're just talking about the principles of how the working group is going to come up with any kind of group consensus or whatever or conclusion, and not with what we are going to do with it, right?
Yes, I mean the principles were for cross-community working groups as and when they're formed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Let's move on then to the working group update. First off is the finance working group, Byron.
Hi. The finance working group has nothing to report, and in that there probably is something. One of the expectations we had and the commitments from ICANN was to provide us the financial... high-level financial detail or insight that we've been asking for a very long time, and that still has not happened. And I'm talking several ICANN meetings. This predates Xavier. As a result, the working group has been not officially put on hold, but there was an expectation set at the Costa Rica meeting that until such time as we had the detail that's been requested repeatedly and over time from ICANN, we are unable to make further forward progress. So as a result, the Finance Working Group has nothing further to report at this time.
I hear what you're saying. I know we keep referring back to numerous times that we've asked for this information. Would it be possible just to collate a list of dates? Because time tends to pass quickly when you're enjoying yourself. I'd rather think it is done quite considerable time. We might usefully refer back to when we first asked for this information at some stage.
Yes, that's probably a good point because, you know, we ask, we get a commitment, there's a failure to deliver, and then we move on, and they're all individual points of time, which we, of course, remember, but I'm sure a summary would help reinforce the point we're making. We can do that, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Byron. Anyone else, anything to comment on the lack of information? No? Okay, let's move on then to 6.2. Sorry?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just wondering if there is going to be an official list of the dates, because I remember being in one of those, I mean, in the working group way back in Cape Town, right? And I don't know if we actually had a record of an official meeting. So I'm wondering if it would be easier for Byron if the people who were in the working group at specific times could maybe come up with a list of dates.
Actually, Bart, as part of some of the background information in and around this subject, at the beginning of the finance working, this current iteration of the finance working group's life, provided the historical background predating this finance working group.
Okay.
So I do have what I think is a complete record of that back to Wellington and Cape Town.
Okay.
Obviously, long before my time, but we have a record of it, and I will make sure that it is the complete record. So thanks for that input.
Okay. Thanks, Byron. Yes, I mean, there was the expense area group information provided at some point along the way as well. Okay, let's move on and leave you with that lovely task. Roloff, the SOP working group.
Yes, thank you, Leslie. I sent a written update earlier, but there have been some developments, so I have something to inform you about since then. The draft of the 2013 budget was published on the 1st of May. There was some confusion just before that if they were going to make the deadline or not, but they met it. The formal deadline for the comments, for the public comment period, is the 24th of May. As a change to previous way of working, I can announce that they are scheduling community briefings, and they will not attend, for instance, the sessions that we organize. Normally, we would have a session with Xavier, where an SOP working session, a conference call, where Xavier would give us the details and answer some of our questions. Change from that today to make sure that they get a coordinated message across. I think that's the formal reason. They are now scheduling the calls. They came up with a schedule that was unable to meet. I think it was that they announced the date something like 5 days before they were actually taking place. So under pressure from the community, they rescheduled those community briefings. They are now on the 9th of May and I think the 15th of May. It means, well, the SOP drew the conclusion that we will be unable to submit our comments before the deadline of the 24th of May. So we decided to forward a placeholder on or before the 20th of May, in which we would make some preliminary remarks, comment on the procedure, announce that we would, because of this change in procedure, not be able to meet the deadline. And we will now. We have now a planning which leads to the submission of our comments on the 7th of June. We actually, in the act of establishing the different working teams, we will communicate to the SOP members on that today. But I think importantly, this means that the SOP comments will not be available before the end of the public comments period. So for those of you who would like to use the SOP comments for their own comments on the draft budget, that might be a snatch. Although I suspect that due to the pressure that I can receive from the community on the scheduling, that there will probably be either a change in the deadline, move it forward, or they will maintain the deadline but still accept comments that come in later. But again, we've had this now several times. Suddenly the schedule is changed, but also it's changed in such a way that it's almost impossible to come up with high-quality comments in the short period that they leave us, and this is going to be one of the core comments we're going to make.
Indeed, and it was a very lengthy document as well.
74 pages, yes.
I saw.
Okay. But it's a big question, so to get all the zeros in, you need a lot of pages.
Indeed.
So Roloff, do you consider this a glitch in the process?
I don't know how you come up with that word. I've never heard of it. What does it mean? Is that major disaster or something? Or?
No, it's a small stumble, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but seriously, I don't know what's really happening. It seems that they these days they tend to take our comments quite serious, but the time they leave us to come up with them is getting shorter and shorter. And they are...
Is this as a result of the new comment series that we were discussing earlier, or is this as a result of the delays to issuing document, or both, in fact?
I think the main reason is that I can start planning the briefings after they have published the draft, and they knew half a year ago that their goal was to publish the draft on the 1st of May. So half a year ago, they could have scheduled their briefing calls. But now they published the draft, and then they think, oh, damn, we have to come up with briefing calls, so let's have them next week. And of course, we will all have full agendas next week. So I think one of the main hiccups is the fact that they don't think ahead. They only schedule, it seems like, a week in advance. And since most of us don't, it means that a week in advance we can't take any new appointments anymore. That's the major one, I think. But maybe, Bart, you want to comment on that?
Well, yes, I think, say, Leslie, you're hinting at, say, the breakup of the process in, again, a public comment and response period. I think that is a major cause as well. If you look at the total time, it's 45 days at least. And up till now, we were able to manage to submit the SOP comments within these 45 days. But with the new process, if it's split so that in the first comment period is reduced to, say, somewhere like 24 days, which is completely impossible.
Yeah.
And then you have a response period of 21 days, because that's the minimum response period as well.
Yeah.
And as Cheryl highlighted earlier, that wasn't the intention of the ATRD recommendations at all.
No.
I just wonder if this one is so serious for a lot that we might, as a TCNSO, highlight this and request an extension of the deadline. Because if you
that's a way as well. They will probably treat our placeholder as such a request, but maybe it's better to do that formally, yes?
Or do both. Say, submit it, and as an SOP, send it to the council with a request to send it formally to the board and to staff.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Leslie, if we all think there's going to be a problem, then perhaps it might be worth highlighting it now. Byron?
Yeah, well, probably just following a bit on your comment right there. In the SOP meeting, we had talked a bit about maybe this is an opportunity, given that the process over time has consistently proved to be variable, uncertain, changing, late-stage change, that this may be the opportunity to be a little less diplomatic than we have been in the past and harder hitting, calling this out as just unacceptable. It's a bottom-up process that leaves us unable to participate in the process, and the process has shown over the last little while around budget and ops plans and strategy that the community can't rely on the process, which makes it very difficult for us to participate in a meaningful way, and this has just been compounded and highlighted in this instance. Just be harder hitting on our comments around this in this particular instance.
Well, I think that... Am I heard?
Yes.
Faculty, yes, we can hear you.
This is Dottie. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think that we have to be careful about internal criticisms of the board because there's so much external criticism of ICANN right now. It doesn't serve our own interests. It serves those of the people who would like to see it crippled. So that's my feeling about it. I think that you get farther with the sotto voce conversations in the corridors than you do making blasting statements that are publicized around the world.
Okay, Dottie, thank you. So we have, I think we have some diverse views. Does anyone else want to speak before I attempt to gather that all together? Now is where you've all gone quiet. Okay, so Dottie, I think your concern would be about some sort of press statement, which I don't think was being suggested. So your point is certainly a valid one in the sense that that ICANN seems to have no shortage of criticism at the moment. However, Roloff and Byron, you quite rightly are referring to some difficulties around the budget, and you know, the SOP has traditionally made some very supportive and constructive comments, and I would hope that we continue in that vein. And obviously, in order to do so, one needs to allow the appropriate amount of time. I'm also aware that many CC colleagues do use the SOP response as a means to not having to put in the time to form their own views, which is quite an onerous process too. So I think I'm hearing we should make some sort of statement, and Dottie, I would very much hope that it could be a diplomatic one. Nevertheless, it is very difficult to comment on this very important budget with the time that seems to be being allowed at the moment.
Well, there is a new financial person. Well, I mean, I don't know how new he is, but he's pretty new. And they have been struggling since the first one they hired to get somebody that really worked. And definitely it is a weak spot. However, I wouldn't go through a set of meetings and identify the amount of times that verbally in meeting they were requesting information, because I don't think that's fair. If you're going to request information, do it in writing in a formal way, and then get upset that you don't get it. Don't refer to a meeting comment and call that a failure to deliver.
So, Dottie, you're referring to the previous agenda item, the finance working group that we're talking about, the CTNSO financial information. I think we're actually...
Are you there?
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time hearing, and my Adigo number didn't ever work this morning for the first time. Busy. You're telling me I'm commenting on the wrong issue. Is that it?
No, I think you were just referring to the request for information, which was on the previous
slide. Right, it was... Yeah, I know. It was just a comment from past comment. I mean, it was just my take on past remarks.
Leslie, this is Bart.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is clear, say, in this case, especially with the ops plan and budget, say, in a way, the people who have produced the ops plan and budget, I'm not responsible for the public comment period. Say, so the split of the public comment period, which is causing some of the issues that the CCNSO is facing, is not the result of the finance department. It is the result of the decision on the implementation of the ACRT recommendation. Maybe it's a good thing to separate this from, say, the timeliness of organizing these phone calls.
Indeed. I think it's just a little bit more planning. Pre-planning is required here. And Dottie, the new finance guy, Xavier, I think has done a very good job at getting this budget and everything together. It's a fairly substantial document with a lot of supporting information, I'm sure. It just seems a shame, having gone through all of that work, that he's probably going to be explaining that to a very small number of people, given the delays in actually setting up a call that anyone can make, which I'm sure isn't going to be helpful for him either.
Leslie, sure.
Okay, there's a danger we're going to spend a rather long time discussing this, and I'm mindful of time. Roloff, could we perhaps bounce it back to the SOP and ask if you wish to make a statement, or if you'd like the council to make a statement, perhaps you could come up with some draft form of words that we could discuss on the list. Would that be an acceptable way forward?
Did we ask the SOP members what their decision on this one, or their position on this one? Is that your proposal?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that. It's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone else want to come in on that one?
Well, maybe just a final comment, Leslie, that we don't have a tendency to formulate blasting comments in our submissions to public comments period, so I think we will be clear and concise, but it will always be in a positive, structured way.
Indeed.
Yeah, maybe since I was a catalyst for this, I'm not saying we blast them, but we've typically been very diplomatic and constructive. I think we just need to turn up the tone and the nuance here to say we are repeatedly stymied and have to scramble at the end. That's not helpful to any of this process. I mean, sometimes you need your friends to call out the practical or make the practical criticisms, and that's more what I'm suggesting. I'm not suggesting we go out hammering them and make it some big public statement, but I'm saying we need to turn up the temperature a bit here, because the in a sense the behaviors keep getting repeated, in that we get put in a position where we have to be reactive, late stage, and scramble. And if we're doing that, and arguably we're the most organized constituency to get this done in a meaningful way, can you imagine all the rest of them? Well, which is probably why, in some degree, little comment is actually being made. So I think, in a sense, because we are not in a position to actually make substantive comments in this go-round, because of the position we're put in, it's an obvious time to highlight the process as a challenge, and not blast them, but be firm about our position. So I'm not going to die on this hill per se, but I think it's an opportunity to make that point.
And I think we could positively respond to Xavier, the new financial director's request for input, and say, you know, we're very happy to do that, and that's what we're both working towards.
Yep.
Okay. Hopefully that's allayed some of your fears. I'm going to move us on now to 6.3, which is the FOI working group. Keith.
Thanks, Lucy. The working group met last week and is still dealing with the topic of revocation. We have two further calls prior to Prague, so I'm feeling reasonably confident at this stage that we will have the revocation topic finalised and potentially out for public comment either just before or just after ICANN Prague. So good progress in the Sweden group. There are some side issues arising, one of which at least will affect the CCNSO Council over the implementation plan for the framework for IANA. But I think more on that at the next meeting on of Council. I'll actually have a bit of a paper on that hopefully by that time. So good steady progress, nothing really creating any stumbling blocks at this stage, and the working group's working most particularly cohesively at the moment. And that's it from me.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and we'll be prompted by you for the agenda item for the next call then, which is the 12th of June.
Yep.
Okay. Moving on to item 6.4, which is the JIG working group. I don't think we have Jan on the call, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, not to my knowledge.
Do we have any update on the appointment?
Yes. Say, first of all, maybe on the voting itself. That was raised by Edmund and Jan, and I've checked with them, and I checked against the charter. And according to the charter, there is no voting rule in place, so it was in fact a non-issue. So that's been resolved with the appointment of the new CCNSO members, because it, as there is no voting rule, it can't be biased either. Secondly, the update on the appointment, it's on Tan Janin. I think, say, the rest was appointed. What I've seen from Jan, he's still working with Dr. Yen, and they want to, they will reappoint somebody else. So that's resolved as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Bart. Let's move on then to 6.5, which is the BSSA. I always get confused as to who reports on that. This one, Cheryl, I think you're on the DSSA.
Yeah, but it's Keith, baby. He's the chair.
It is. I am, sorry.
Well, I can...
Nike
chairs it up, but Bart usually attends, so I tend to think Bart tends to give us the briefing, but...
Yeah, it's fairly simple. Say the DSSA is working on preparation of a progress report for the Prague meeting. Again, looking into going deep or going or just a quick run through of the whole methodology. And it's I think it's slowly progressing. And that's more or less it, unless you want to add something, Cheryl.
Just briefly, I think the intention is very much to do both. The go deep, of course, will be post-Prague, but what we do want to have out for our report for Prague is a reasonable set of examples and enough information on the methodology and the assumptions that we're working on to have community response and input into it. And I would think that that the CCTLD operators would be in a fairly unique situation to bring some very specific expertise and proper criticism as well as comment on the work we've done. So of all of the ICANN communities out there, I would think this community within the CCNSO is one that's got the most valuable contributions to make to it.
Okay. Thank you very much, both. Any questions or comments on that one? No? Thank you. Let's move on to 6.6, which was the study group on the use of names of countries and territories. And there was a draft note, I think, on the draft agenda with the latest update on that one. But do you have anything to add?
No. It's, say, maybe the study group will look into, testing some of the typology itself against the rules as of tomorrow. So they and they're working on a progress report as well. And I think it's actually in the notes from Paul.
It was. Thank you. Okay, moving on then to 6.7, which is the meetings program working group. We have Dika on the call, and we also had a note from Andre just briefly on our agenda. Dika, did you have anything to add?
Nothing, Leslie. I didn't attend the last meeting.
Okay, thank you. And there's a Facebook page there as well, apparently. We should be Facebooked out shortly. Moving on then to item 6.8, which is the informal study group on capacity, stroke, participation, and so forth. I thought we were going to ask for a volunteer to report into the council on that one, and I'm not clear who was volunteered.
Hi, Leslie. This is Fernando.
It's Fernando.
Hi, Fernando.
Fernando was appointed to do so. Sorry, I forgot to mention.
Excellent. Thank you.
So the update on this study group is that we've actually had a couple of meetings already. After the first meeting, there was a set of questions that were forwarded from you to the group, and we've all responded with our feedback. And then on our second meeting, we actually took a review of all the answers from the different members of the group, And the next item as far as the next steps that we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and review the those responses and the feedback that we got on the review of the responses, and we're going to think to see if there's any additional questions that we may think of to address the purpose of the study group. I think our goal we've been told is that we have to present something by the Prague meeting. So we are going to be having another meeting on May 18th. We are making progress, and once again, you know, it's just trying to get internal feedback and review on the set of questions that were submitted.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Fernando, and those on that group. Anyone, any questions or comments on that, please? Okay, let's move on then. We look forward to your reporting back. Next item is 6.9, the public comment request. That's a new alert where an alert list on comments, and Vika and Keith are on that list as I am as well. Did either of you have anything to highlight for council members, please?
Oh, there are a couple of those that I noted. There's the Security, Stability and Resiliency Review Team's report. And they will be holding two webinars this Friday to present the report and answer questions and receive feedback. So that's one that I noted. And there was the one of the Consumer Trust Choice and Competition Working Group of the GNSO, which I understand the closing date for comments is today. It's about the definitions of definitions and measures of competition, consumer trust, and choice as enshrined in the affirmation of commitments. So the board had requested the GNSO to work with other supporting organizations to help them define what is this choice, trust, and competition. So that ICANN can measure itself again to see if it has complied with its affirmation of commitments. Those were the two main ones that I noted. The last one was the post agreement amendment with the Universal Postal Union, the operator of the post registry, wanting to amend the agreement so that they'll be able to register the names, the names reserved in the IANA list for top-level domains like ZA or UK. They want to be able to register those at the second level. The closing date again for this one is tomorrow, the 9th, so it's quite close. Those are the ones I noted.
Thank you very much, Rika. Keith, anything to add?
No, Rika covered that extraordinarily well. I don't think there's anything of significance that he missed.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on then to agenda item 7, the ICANN Academy Working Group. Councillors and others will recall that we sent out a request for volunteers, and we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 volunteers, which is excellent, but it does give us the difficult task of choosing two. Bart, Gabby, did we have any updates on those or any proposed selections?
Sorry? Yeah, we haven't had any additional volunteers, no. So I think, the next step is probably, given that we have, six candidates, council comes to some criteria for appointment, then, the appointment of the volunteers. Other update.
Okay. So the suggested criteria was that they have a knowledge of the at-large community, because at-large community were the instigators of this working group and the idea of the ICANN Academy, and indeed have been impressively active on it. That they have intimate knowledge of the CCNSO and the CCTRD community and our needs, and the ability to align both of those two things, in essence. Cheryl,
may I speak? This is Ron.
Ron! I thought you were having problems signing in. Hello. Yes, of course.
I did. Eventually I got a call and I was able to join you at 40 minutes into the meeting. But if I may just suggest here that I believe I'm able to attend these the Academy Working Group meetings as a liaison anyway, so you don't need to keep my name on there as a volunteer. Of course, there are a lot of good people that are offering themselves.
Okay, Ron, thank you. That's very helpful.
This is Margarita, and I agree I could participate anyway, anyhow that I couldn't put my name in the list or the group.
Okay, thank you, Margarita. I was going to ask Cheryl, obviously Ron has knowledge of at large. Of the group of volunteers, are there any that have particular knowledge of at large, please, which was the first suggested criteria?
Leslie, I'm actually a little bit on that foot on why that's as an important a criteria. I would have thought that what should be the most important criteria would be for volunteers who can ensure that the curriculum and the activities of the Academy properly reflect the CCNSO and the CCTLD community to their leaders. This is a whole lot larger than reflecting an understanding of the at-large community. This is core curriculum development for ICANN and for leadership in ICANN. I kind of have that upside down. I think your list is very good, but you certainly would, from my understanding of what the Academy desires from the rest of the ICANN community, is the expertise that is not necessarily focused on at large, but is focused on the other parts of ICANN.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much. So, we need to appoint two people. Does anyone have any proposals for which two would most best serve the CCNSO needs, therefore?
Keith here, Leslie. I think Hong Shui is an obvious candidate in terms of her own experience in ICANN overall, and I think her role as a university professor as well probably lends itself quite usefully to the whole project of the academy. So I think that becomes very obvious, and then separating out anyone else from the rest of the candidates becomes extraordinarily difficult, because I see very equal sort of talents in different areas from each. But I guess for the point of diversity, you know, perhaps someone like Abahat or Nigel would be quite useful representing the CCTLD arena and, you know, the broader CCTLD rather than just the CCNSO.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Very helpful. Need to start somewhere. And Hong, I know you're on the call, so give us talking about you whilst you're on the call. So there's a proposal there for Hong and for Eberhard, with perhaps Nigel as a next choice. Does anyone wish to suggest any alternatives to that, please?
Well, I'd just like to say that I think that Eberhard and Nigel are good choices because they represent operators. I think that an operator is important to have on that group more than, more than an academic.
Okay. Thank you, Jyoti. So your proposal is Eberhard and Nigel as opposed to Eberhard and Hong?
No, I think one of the two. I would suggest Nigel. He seems to have less interruptions in his schedule.
I'm missing a joke here somewhere. Okay.
Give birth to many babies.
Okay. Leslie?
Yes, Youngham.
Yes, this is Youngham. I agree with the statements that made by Keith and
Dottie.
I mean, yes, yeah, sorry. I think if we're going to be going for diversity, we should have either Eberhard or Nigel. I would go for either of them, but having both of them would not reflect as diverse a community as the CCNSO is. So,
thank you, Youngham. I think that's helpful. I think I heard Hong and either Eberhard or Nigel being suggested. Given that Eberhard's already leading on the Tech Working Day, and I know we have an outstanding piece of work from him on the review of the future of that, can I just suggest maybe we go with Hong and Nigel for this one? This isn't the most important thing on our call, so we really ought to decide and move on.
Good idea.
I think that's a great idea.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everybody. Let's move on then to item 8, which is the GAC CCNSO Council topic for our meeting in Prague. Bart, what do you want from the CCNSO? A nod to this or an alternative suggestion?
Well, it's more the topics for the joint meeting. Say, first of all, the introduction session is, so the Council is aware this is happening and we're planning on it. Again, this is a result from the improvements from the CCNSO review and part of the improvement package. And the second one is topics for a joint meeting. Say staff has already been requested to start organising that session, so it's more for the council whether these topics would suit them.
Okay, and I also note the program working group, based on the survey request, and Peter, you'll come in here, I'm sure, a desire for greater interaction with the GAC as opposed to us just turning up and reporting. So I'm not sure if those topics will address that desire.
No. But
Peter? Is Peter still on the call? This is where I test whether you're listening.
Peter van Roster had to leave.
Ah, how unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Leslie, this is Bart again. I think at the end of the day, it's these are proposed topics, and in principle, they lend themselves for interaction. And it's more or less trying to convince, or I think the GAC members itself, if they are willing to respond, they'll interact as well. So that's probably another issue, and maybe should be addressed in another way.
Indeed, maybe there's a conversation with Peter Gibney had to leave the call as to how we could best get interaction on those. I mean, it'd be really useful to get any suggestions that he might have, but perhaps we can do that outside of this call.
Yeah.
So can I just ask council members and others whether those set of topics seem appropriate, and if they are, we'll move on.
Leslie, this is Roloff. Mm-hmm. Just a suggestion. I think that our interaction with the GAC would further improve if we not so much report progress to them on certain issues, but if we take from the work we're doing, we take issues to them that we want to discuss with them. So, for instance, the framework of interpretation working group, I think this is an excellent example of work that we're doing where there are points that we want to highlight to them or that we want to discuss with them instead of generally reporting progress on it, because that would probably take 20 minutes out of out of the 60 minutes that we have, and we might miss the discussion. But I always find a bit disappointing in our exchanges, both and the GNSO, is that we do most of the talking and there is very little real interaction on topics where I think there is definitely need for interaction.
Mm-hmm. And I guess there will be appropriate stages in the FOI where it's more easier to ask specific questions for GAC input, Keith.
Yeah, so we pick specific parts of the work we're doing, so specific items within the work of the FOIWG, and bring that to them. These are things that we want to point your attention to, of discoveries we've made, or things that we want to further elaborate.
Okay, well maybe we can, I note you're down to present on the Ops Plan and Budget, so we can trial that approach with that item.
Yeah, fine.
Excellent, okay. Anything else on that one?
Leslie, it's Keith here, just a very quick observation. I think on some issues relating to delegation, three delegations and the FOI working group's work, the GAC prefers not to try and have open discussion in the joint session, and prefers to keep its or the individual opinions of GAC members within the GAC in private. But that's why we have the three or four members of the GAC on the working group itself, so they can provide that advance preparation work within the GAC and for the GAC to come back with their actual positions. So far that process is working quite well. I agree with Roloff, we should have more interaction at those sessions, but the GAC doesn't seem to be forthcoming in that regard. They want to keep themselves a closed shop. So I think it's just the difference of our natures as organisations. But we should keep trying nonetheless.
Yeah.
I'm also mindful that somebody from the GAC will view themselves as speaking to their government, whereas somebody from the CCNSO will sometimes view ourselves as speaking from our personal position or the company we're working for, which is probably easier compared to speaking for a government and having an interdepartmental response, as it were.
Sure, but this was always the long-standing desire of the liaison group, was to try and find sufficient common ground between GAC and CCNSO members so that we could have fruitful discussion rather than reporting in and reporting back.
Indeed. Okay, let's move on then to the CCNSO-GNSO meeting topic. And Juhani and Rodolf, I think you're in charge of that one.
Yep. I don't know if Juhani is on the call.
He just sent his
apologies. No, I don't think so.
Apologies during the call.
Well, I think I would suggest the same, and that we try to find topics where we actually have something to discuss with, or at least we can have a dialogue about with the GNSO. I think again here also, because they have let us know that they find it very interesting to hear about our work on budget and strategic plans, so I could do something on behalf of the SOP. I think there might be, but that depends on the outcome of the whole process, but then we probably should reserve some time for particular subjects that come out of the new GTLD applications, because by then we will have a clear view of what kind of applications we will have and how many of what type of applications. So that might be something that we want to discuss with them. But for the rest, I'm up to suggestions. I don't know if Keith sees that there would be things that he would like to discuss with the GNSO on the framework of interpretation working group.
I'd be happy to do a session there, Roloff. The reason being is it's just really become apparent to the FOI working group that some of the applications of some of these aspects of the framework that are under discussion now, like revocation and a TLD manager substantially misbehaving, are actually applicable to all TLDs, not just to CCTLDs, the RFC 1591 principle. And with the number of new GTLDs likely to come on board, there are some aspects of the enforceability or otherwise of RFC 1591 principles that should be of some interest to the GNSO at least. So I think if we took a slightly different approach on that angle, it might be quite useful to GNSO.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so we'll leave it to the two of you to draw up some topics for us. And obviously we'll have an update at the next call on the 12th of June, just before Prague anyway.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So moving on, item 10 was the request for any topics for discussion across the communities. I sent you an email on the 30th of April on this one. So you'll recall in the days before we spent lots of time discussing GTLDs, there used to be cross-community sessions on items of interest, and the idea is to reinstate those, and there has been a call for any items. The only ones I've heard from the other SO and AT chairs are IPv6 and SOPA and all things like SOPA, which piggybacks really on the session that we had at our last meeting, but obviously because it was a CCNSO event, although we did have quite a large attendance, not everybody was able to take that meeting. So query if either of those are of interest, and if there are others to add, please.
Leslie, this is
Rolf. This is Ron. Oh.
No, go ahead, Ron.
I did pass this request along to the ALEC chair, and the one major concern was the changing of the closure of the ICANN meeting from Friday to Thursday, but that seems to be a fait accompli at this point. And I explained that there would be an opportunity for Cheryl to bring up anything at this meeting as she's here as an observer, and you might ask Cheryl if she has anything that ALEC wishes to include here.
Thank you, Ron, but in fact we did actually cover that in an earlier agenda item with a number of speakers, Roloff and Keith in particular, raising points which basically echoed very much, which I did report to the CCNSO Council, what has been going on in the ALEC and the large community. But certainly the ALEC and the at large community is very supportive of having an ACSO Monday afternoon commitment to some topic that is of general interest. And one of the topics that we did put to us on that, if we're interested enough, it's going to be a little bit like the having a PDP on a PDP, but we actually wondered, should we have a discussion on what should be discussed cross-community-wise? In other words, what type of topics should make the cut to be topics of merit to be focused on at a ICANN-wide community conversation like that? Thanks, Ron.
Okay, so
we have
IPv6, copper, and a session on topics we could discuss at session or something like that.
I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. Does anyone else have anything to add? Rodolf, you were going to talk to me?
Yeah, I would like to make one suggestion. I've been in quite recently in a few sessions in other arenas than the ICANN arena on the influence of present developments on the future use of the DNS, and especially on the future use of domain names. And then recent developments like smarter and smarter search engines, social media like Facebook, and mobile platforms with apps. And I would say that the ICANN community would be the most logic place to have such a discussion on how do we see the future of the DNS in the medium term, and do we think that we have to do something to influence it, or do we do nothing and just think that it's going to last forever? It has always surprised me a bit that this discussion is completely lacking in the ICANN environment, as far as I know.
Okay. Well, I think we have a good list to input there. Gabby, could you ensure that that's passed on to Phyllis, please, or Phyllis?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on then, guys and girls, to item 11, which is the draft agenda for our Prague meeting. Anyone, any comments or queries on that one, please? No? And well, can I just say well done to the program working group for getting that out very well in advance, which was impressive. Moving on then to item 12, the Aircon update. Ron, we received your paper. Thank you very much. And as Cheryl highlighted earlier, a lot of statements coming through the ALAC at the moment, which is excellent. Any questions or comments for Ron, please? No? Okay. Let's thank you for the report. Then, Ron? Item 11.2 is the GNSO liaison. I don't know if Hang Chuan was able to join the call in the end, Gabby?
No, I haven't had her joining.
Okay. My understanding is that the GNSO aren't meeting until after this call, so I guess we'd expect a slightly delayed update from Hang Chuan.
And item 13 is the next council meetings. Just to note, we have the 12th of June, then we have our meeting in Prague on the 27th, and then we have a meeting on the 28th of August. Any other business? I have two items that I've noted, but does anyone else have any other business first? No? Okay. So firstly from me, links to a comment earlier. Bart, Gabby, I think we were expecting a report or something from the Tech Working Group on the future of the Tech Working Day and so forth.
As we say, I've indicated and I've forwarded the email, the Tech Working Group suggested to do this at the Prague meeting.
Okey-doke. Is it on our agenda or is it coming on the council agenda?
It's coming on the council agenda.
Okay.
For the Prague meeting itself. But I will check again and make sure that the Tech Working Group will deliver that report at the council meeting in Prague.
Okay, thank you. And the other item I had was Adobe. So you'll have seen on the list that Christina was very kindly gathering views on Adobe, and I think there's been an overwhelmingly positive response to us trialing the use of Adobe, not as a replacement for the phone bridge, but in addition, and certainly as chair, I hope it might make people making input a bit easier as well. Does anyone have any concerns or comments on Adobe? Christina, I don't know if you have anything to add.
I don't really have anything to add, so the councillors that did not state their views yet, to do that would be fantastic.
Leslie, this is Ron again.
Hi, Ron.
Yes, Leslie. I would like to tell you that I couldn't get in at all for about 40 minutes, and if we'd had Adobe, I would have been with you all the time. It is that much better and that much different. And while I was trying to get through to join this call, I kept wishing that it was like the ALAC where we had Adobe.
Okay, that's a glowing endorsement, Ron. Thank you. Anyone else?
This is Dottie, and I think that it's extremely useful for certain things, like working on documents, certainly. But I think it kind of depersonalizes the event.
And how might we address that, Dottie?
Well, I don't think you can. I personally think Adobe depersonalizes, and so that affects your decision to use it, is the way I look at it.
Okay. Well,
Leslie, may I comment? Dottie, I don't know whether you're familiar with the latest version of Adobe, because what happens is that it is essentially the same as a telephone call. We have two-way communication exactly as we do now, but with all the other benefits added.
You mean you can talk to each other as we're talking now? Because that doesn't
Absolutely.
Seem to happen when the moderator is in charge and calling on risen hands, you know? Raised hands, I guess.
Well, it's true that you don't get two people trying to speak at once, but I haven't found it in any way disruptive.
Okay.
This is Christina. Can I just say that our experience is that it's been easier for people to make comments, as Leslie say. Sometimes that it's not important enough to say out loud, but they would put something in the chat and it might lead to something productive.
Okay. I think
there is also something which I think when Christina raised the chat, you might need to note more and more in work groups and even as a result of ordinary meetings which are using the Adobe Connect rooms, we find that the chat transcripts are being collected and being used and in some cases posted as part of a formal record. So the chat facility's grown to be extremely useful, certainly in work group activities.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. So I think the suggestion is that we trial this for our June call. Let's see how we go and let's experiment, and then obviously in Prague we can review how it worked for us and maybe adopt address some of your concerns, Lottie, and see how that call. Are you able to be on our June call?
Are you speaking to me?
I am.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So let's use that as a trial as to whether we become completely depersonalized. Hopefully not.
Okay.
We'll ask you to monitor that for us, Lottie.
The pressure's going to be on the chair then, isn't it?
I know. I was just thinking that. Okay. Is everybody comfortable with us trialing it for our June call and then reviewing in Prague?
Most definitely.
Yes.
Excellent.
Good idea.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. I'm sorry that's overran a bit, but obviously we had quite a long agenda for this call. I'll do my best to speed us up next time. But thank you very much, everyone.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.